you got him men's spade digging.
Well, going back quite a long time, men used to dig by hand or by foot, if you like. And they had a special shoe on the, however, whichever foot they had on the spade. Some used to use the right and some the left. And they had a special shoe, boots rather, and underneath it was rather like shoeing a horse, really, because there was metal part underneath, mm-hmm. so they would wear their shoe out. And then, of course, they did double digging as well.
Mm.
But did, I think I gave... I think I gave that to the Hartlebury Museum. So, and of course, they had hobnail boots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what those look like. And they could have a rim underneath, like a small horseshoe,
mm-hmm.
and laces, and quite high up.
Mm-hmm.
And they wore those forever, because it's so expensive to have them resold. But the nails were a bit like rose cut nails, you know, the head was,
oh yeah,
you know I'm hopeless.
Edges, lots of edges on.
Well, do you know what a rose cut nail is? It's big,
mm-hmm.
and it's sort of 3/4 size, and then the top is rather like a little rose.
Oh.
And, well, I could tell you more about the rose nails, but it isn't the time, is it?
Well, where did they come from? Did the blacksmith make them?
Originally from the Black Country.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a chap called Fiddler Foley. He went to Norway or Sweden or one of those countries, and he found out that they could be made better and quicker than what the Black Country made. The first time they sent him home, the second time he took his fiddle with him, of course, hence the name. Then somehow or other he got away with this. He came home, he made a vast amount of money because it was used for fencing and that sort of thing. And then the Foleys lived at Whitley Court.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that began. Now, we were talking about hobnail boots, weren't we?
We can carry on about Whitley Court.
Well, I expect some people have told you about Whitley Court, haven't they?
But there's always different bits that different people know, isn't there? Well, I mean, what did you know about Whitley Court?
Well, what I knew about Whitley Court was that there was a big fire there.
Yeah.
And I know my brothers, being brothers, went in their pyjamas to watch it burn down. Mm. I didn't go. And, of course, they employed the whole village, and it was a disaster when it happened.
Mm.
And the person who lived there was a carpet waller, which is a rude word to use, really.
Mm.
And the local people in the village called him Piggy Smith. And why ever he went there, I've no idea. He lived there on his own. He had a butler, and they used to play chess together or something. And then this happened. A lot of people said it could have been arson, but nobody really knew.
Mm.
Anyway, my husband had the sale of the furniture and the carpets that were left out in the garden. The fountain was marvellous. And underneath the fountain, it was like being... There were wheels and all sorts of mechanical things, and the responsibility of a man to look after it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. Then, of course, Whitley Court was left for quite a long time with anything done to it at all. Mm-hmm. The vandals threw stones at it, so it had to be repaired. And I think they play it every so often now.
Mm.
And also there were the most wonderful gates and beautiful statues and things in the garden and lovely trees. And then somebody else came. They shouldn't have done so. They should have been stopped with the balustrading and all that, all taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the staff who worked there, they had a very good time. They had a dining room, or whatever they called it in those days. They had wonderful meat and wonderful food and all the rest of it. And then there was one chap we employed, and all he had to do was to look after one drive. And another chap had one horse to look after. I mean, it was very, very what I call cushy, really.
Yes, yeah.
And so when it all fell to pieces, it was a disaster for the village.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So many people were out of work.
Do you remember going up there before the fire?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Ah. No.
No.
I went into the Winningtons quite often, but I didn't go there. And of course, King George the Fifth used to go shooting there. Mm. It was an enormous affair.
Mm.
And before that, I think there were people who made their money was in coal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened, but suddenly, I don't think the husband was very nice, but his wife was an extremely nice woman. And she couldn't cope with the situation because they weren't getting on well. This is hearsay, mind you. And then she and the nanny went up to Scotland and she committed suicide. So there was a lot of sadness behind.
How did the Bankses go to Hill House? Do you know that?
Yes, I do. First of all, they were at Sintley, which was in Astley. No, first of all, they were at Fox Hall, which is, as you go along to Stourport, you pass the way to the Hill House, and then it lies back off the road mm-hmm. on the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the wicked aunt and her sister were born there. Then I think they went to Sintley. Which was in Astley. Then they bought the Hill House, but I can't remember which year they bought
it. No. So where was Tony born?
He was born at Sintley, I think.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And also when Grandpa Banks went out to earn his living. He lived in a black and white house opposite the pool house. And believe it or not, it's old, it's black and white. There was a right of way right through the middle of his house.
No.
Anyway, that's beside the point. we started the firm in 18-something,
mm-hmm.
but that I can't remember, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Before
your time.
Oh, yes. Well, what else? I've got lost now.
We're not doing badly. What, for entertainment, when you were a young woman, what entertainment was there about? Were there dances? Were there, because you were a keen hunter, were you?
The first time I rode a pony was when I lived in Shropshire.
Mm-hmm.
And Father used to think it was a good idea to ride them without a saddle. And that was when I first started, and I suppose I must have been about 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. I might tell you I was more down than up. Ooh, she was naughty. And when we moved, it must have been 38 miles, and we had another little pony called Jimmy, which was in the governess cart. And, of course, the groom used to, no horse boxes, of course, rode the pony from there to the Team Valley. After 4 days, we couldn't find Dolly. Do you know, she'd gone all the way back on her own, back to her pal. Because we left him with a small holder because he was getting very old. And it wouldn't have suited him, I don't think, to move. You see, when I left school, war was beginning to rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and lived with an Austrian family for about a year. And there was a lot of entertainment. That's quite another story. And then, of course, I don't think there was much. Oh, well, I suppose I got married, which was great entertainment.
How did you meet?
Well, my brother and he went hunting with the Clifton Hounds, and he bought him in tea one day, and he was by far the most handsome man in the whole of Worcestershire. There he is there.
Yes.
And I thought, ooh, I rather like the look of you. Anyhow, I didn't see him for ages. And of course he was the son of Grandpa Banks, who owned Hill House.
Mm-hmm.
I hardly ever saw him because he had to go early in the morning and used to come late at night. And so I hardly ever saw him. Then he, of course, in those days, auctioneers and estate agents had very stiff exams because curriculum was huge.
Mm.
You had to know about everything, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one more exam to do. And then my mother thought I was hopeless. So she sent me to a domestic science college in Birmingham. Now things were getting bad then, so he went in his car to take his exams. I went to this dreadful place, and he gave me a lift occasionally. And that's how it happened.
Ah.
Very slowly.
Yeah.
I was allowed to go out in the evening, providing I came back at 10.
Mm-hmm.
We had doors, front doors of 2 doors. And we had a little statue about that high. My father used to put it behind these doors so that when we went in and opened it, it fell over and made a noise. And even worse than that, can't believe it, how strict they were. When we came back, We used to go in the stable yard where there was a bit of shrubbery and have a bit of a canoodle. And then he said to Kite, the policeman, who lived in the cottage next door to the gardener, "You better go down occasionally with the torch and see what they're up to." Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Oh, dear. Now, what next?
So where was your wedding then, when it...
At home.
Oh, right.
In February. It was snowing. I didn't feel the cold at all. We had a very small wedding.
Mm.
Because, of course, then it was 41.
Ah, yeah.
And so that was that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to live at Dunley in a little black and white. It's just a bit bigger than a cottage, I suppose. It was a small holding,
mm-hmm.
which for us was lucky. Tony was going to be called up,
mm.
but his father and the partner died within a few months of one another.
Mm.
So it was only him left, and they insisted that he should stay because he had a lot to do with agriculture mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were jolly lucky.
Mm.
But when I saw the house, I thought, well, we're jolly lucky to have one. No electricity, no telephone, grass growing up through the kitchen floor, the chimney smoked, and of course it was lamps and things. Pump all the water up by hand. It was pretty tough, mm-hmm. but you see, it doesn't matter when you're young. You ought to be grateful for having a house anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So we really were bulging at the seams, I can tell you. But it was very fortunate that I'd been working on the farm because I could look after the small holding, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I remember bringing up the vet one day and I was getting the house cow in and she was going like this. I rang up the vet and I said, I think the cow's going to faint. And of course it wasn't that. It was calcium, you know, she had to have an injection of calcium because she was such a good milker.
Oh.
So he thought that was rather strange.
Yes, yes.
A fainting cow.
How long did you actually work at Hill House Farm for? After you must have...
Well, until I was married, I think, and when I left, they said, oh dear, who's going to do all the donkey work? But they became, once they accepted us, and we did really work very hard,
mm-hmm.
They became real friends, and they were really good people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I go and see three of them now.
Really? You're still alive now then?
Yes. What? And of course, John, who is the blacksmith's son,
mm-hmm.
I see him quite a lot.
Okay.
And he's so decent because if I've got a saucepan with a handle off or a fork with a handle off, I take it down and he does it. And when they see me coming, they think, oh my God, what have we got next?
You've got South Rock Caves here. What's that?
Well, this is on the Winnington estate.
Oh, right.
And if you go down the hill over Stamford Bridge, mm-hmm. turn left, and then before you get to Shelsey Walsh Hill Climb, there's a way up there in the woods, and it's extraordinary. It's sort of volcanic rock.
Oh.
It's sort of like pumice stone, only a bit rougher.
Okay.
And it's really lovely to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the top was a little cottage. I think a woodman used to live in there, right at the top. And it was, the water was very hard water. And it comes down a little stream. And you could pick up sticks and leaves and things that were all covered. And they were brittle, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But they were covered with this lime, I suppose.
Okay.
And we used to go there quite a bit. And there's some interesting... There's Herb Paris, which is a very interesting wildflower that grows there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's Shelsey Walsh Hill Climb.
You've got poling horns, whelks and sock pit.
Thumb sticks, isn't it? Thumb sticks. Well, what did you say?
Poling horns.
Well, they, you know, at one time, cattle all had horns, and then they started to cut them off.
Okay, yes.
But it was either Crummy or one of the other chaps, they had drinking horns, which they drank their cider out of. And then after they'd drunk the cider out, they used to shake it. They didn't wash it up. They just shook it, I remember.
Oh.
And I'm sure Crummer had one. And what next?
Wells. Is it Wells? And water divining.
Well, water divining was an extraordinary thing. I think you had a hazel stick, which you held like this, and you walked around where you thought there might be a well or some water underneath. And why it happened, nobody really knows. The stick turned, and there you found water. And while we were talking about water, we better talk about the ram. And that was in a stream below the hill house, and the water ran through it, and all that water pumped up to the house and did all the buildings.
Ah.
And they used that until comparatively recently.
It's in my garden. The ram is in my...
I thought it had been taken away.
No, it's still there.
Really?
Yes. It was Don Bowen.
Oh, that's a wonderful family.
Yeah.
And in the pool there are the original wild water lilies. And they're very much smaller and they're yellow.
Oh, yeah.
Which you don't see very often.
What's the sock pit?
Ah, well, this was a big stone sort of trough. Big. No covering over it, of course. And, of course, all the urine, etc., used to go in there. And then it was put on the ground for manure.
Oh, so they used to say...
Whether it's still there or not, I don't know.
So this was from the house, was it?
That was at the hill house.
Okay. Hedge brushing with a chain?
Well, now that was a wonderful aunt. Well, you got a hedge which was out of control and too high and too thick. So they had a sharp instrument which was a very sharp edge and it curved a bit at the top, but every county had a different one. And they got hold of one piece of the hedge, say like a small tree, and they chopped it so far, but they left a bit at the end so that they could pull it over. They had big, big leather gloves, and they did this so many times. Then they put a stake in, and then when they'd done as far as they could of layering the hedge, then they used to get young nut sticks, I think, or withy being. And then through the stakes were about that far apart, and then they wove these along the top to keep the hedge from springing up.
Yeah.
Then you had to mould up the bottom, dig the earth up and put it up.
Oh, okay.
And I think the measurement you got paid by so much a chain.
Oh, yes.
But you better look that up. I think that's right.
Yeah. There's not much left now. We've got on to stone crushing.
Well, there used to be heaps of stone every so often along the road. A man came along, he had goggles on and a hammer, and he had to hammer them to the correct size, and that was put on the road. He didn't seem to have any covering whatsoever, and he used to turn his barrow sort of with the handles on the ground, and then he used to sit in it like a chair. I haven't told you about the commands for horses.
No.
Well, they don't say walk up, I can tell you, in those days. It was gee up to go. It was woe to stop. And then it was steady. And the reins were called G-O lines. And people used to go gleaning, which was picking up the bits of corn that were left, or they could put their fowl on there. And also, as you came to the end of the crop, and then in at the end there's a small area, and of course all the rabbits and things used to go in there. How people didn't get shot, I don't know. Because they got guns, and then the rabbits used to come out here, there and everywhere, and I was there with a thumb stick, and they used to be quite accurate sometimes, but it was extremely haphazard.
What's a thumbstick?
Well, it's a stick with a V at the top.
Yes.
And that's called a thumbstick. Because if you think about it, your thumb goes through as you walk with a thumbstick, doesn't
it?
Well, that's what they called a thumbstick.
So it was like a walking stick?
Yes, but it was upright.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And of course they used to make walking sticks by hanging it in a cellar in a certain way to get the top. And they used to make really beautiful ones.
You were talking about rabbits. There were an awful lot of rabbits in the orchard.
No.
Yes, full of rabbits.
Oh. Well, you know, those Frenchmen, I think, were really wicked, because they came over and they started, they injected rabbits and let them go with mycomatosis.
Is that how it happened?
Yes. And I've never, I don't like killing things, but I will do it if they're in agony. And they were in agony. We were at Lawn Hill then, and their eyes sort of came up. Oh, it was dreadful. Whether that's been out, whether they have it today, I'm not sure.
Oh, you still see it about, don't you?
I didn't know it came from with French, when the French came over. That's
and
amazing.
Originally, first of all, King Henry VIII, they came from the sand hills in Spain. The first time they were introduced, it didn't work, but the second time it did. And then, of course, they became a terrible menace to the farmers. Then they had these ghastly gin traps. Thank goodness that's been done away with, I hope. But you know, in the old days, they used to have the great big ones, which are called man traps. And I think that was really, really cruel.
Terrible.
And then they, the poachers used to have a round ball with holes in it, and there was a light inside, so that they, when they heard
the
gamekeeper, they used to roll it along, and then the gamekeeper would think that they were there where the light is, and then they escaped. Quite clever things in the old days. Very encouraging. Now, there's some things I've missed out.
Something about mead.
Oh, mead. Now, that was made from grain and honey. And when I was very young, our gardener used to drink it. And you know how some of these fizzy drinks, the bubbles come up?
Yeah.
Well, it did that. And the old-fashioned name was mead. Now, what would we call it today?
Same.
Hmm?
It's the same.
Is it?
Hmm.
Oh. Anyway, his gardening wasn't quite so good in the afternoon.
So what about some of the expressions that used to be used?
Well, in the morning, when they came up, they used to say good morning all, because they couldn't be bothered to say people's names.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they invited you to their cottage, they used to say come up some night.
Did you get invited to their cottage after a bit?
Yes, after a bit.
I bet you did.
When we were accepted, we did. And when I think, you know, in every strata of life, to my mind, there were kings, and Queens all the way down. In every strata of life, there are some really marvellous people, which sometimes you don't have the opportunity to meet.
That's right.
Mm. I was so impressed by them, yeah, because I knew how hard it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they did help one another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, they had squabbles now and again over rather stupid things, but on the whole, they did help one another.
Do you remember any squabbles?
Oh. Bill York. Mrs. Bill York was accused of stealing a threepenny bit or something from the next door neighbour. And they didn't speak for quite a long time. Oh, it was little things, like some people today, they squabble over little things, don't they?
Do you remember about anything about the 100 House?
It was run, I think, by two maiden ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very popular. And people went there for many years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know the history of it.
No, you didn't go there much yourself.
Oh, we went to buy these woodbines from there that we stuck behind our ears. I'm sure we went there.
Mm.
If not, it was the grocer's shop. You know, when you're going up to Abbeley?
Yeah.
If you take the right fork, there was a grocer's shop there. And we used to have all our grocery from there.
Oh, okay.
And then they used to come out and deliver it to you. I knew the bakery in Wychingford.
Yes,
and he made wonderful bread and used to bring it round and deliver it himself. He used to get up 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, yes, I remember him
He
too.
Was a very, very nice man.
Yeah, yeah. But the what? Do you remember much about the Home Guard in Great Whitley?
Do I not?
Oh.
Well, because my husband was not called to help. He was a member of the Home Yard with John Brinton and a whole lot of other chaps. And really, it was... I don't know whether you watched it on television, but it was a bit like that. Yes. It was John Brinton. And right at the very beginning... You know, sometimes when the weather was bad, they had haycocks, didn't they, in the fields?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a whirlwind, and it was a bad one, and it took these haycocks up, and everybody got very excited, including the Home Guard, and they thought they were parachutes. And then you were supposed to stop people on the road. And I know my husband stopped a Chinaman on a pedal bike. And what went on there, I dread to think. But they did do a good job in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because latterly, they were armed better than they were at the beginning.
Mm.
And I remember my father joined in the Shelsey Beecham one.
Mm.
And they were supposed to bring their own guns and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, he never got his back. Oh. But I remember him playing bridge, and he had a revolver by the side of him, just in case. It was a very haphazard arrangement. And weren't we lucky? We just about won.
Yeah.
Miracle.
Just about
miracle.
Won. Yeah.
And I remember Jack... you know, who was the original blacksmith.
Oh, yes.
Who I thought would really be Labour, but I didn't think that sort of way in that day. And he was talking about it one day, and he said to me, thank God for the public school boys, because they were the first that went, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had jolly little training, as far as I can make up. But I've flown. I can't bear flying. I'm frightened to death. But the first aeroplane I flew in was, I think they call it a biplane.
Mm-hmm.
And this belonged to a chap who raced in Bluebird and killed himself.
Donald Campbell.
That's right. And he had, how on earth I was there, or why I was there, I know I was about 8 and a half, because I'd been given a Brownie number 2 camera.
Oh.
Anyway, I went up, and there were only two of you, the pilot and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew you could get out. And I remember leaning over the side and taking a photograph. And I can also remember the Zeppelins.
Mm-hmm.
Because originally Amberley School came there because it, the school was Blackheath in London,
mm-hmm.
and the headmaster got frightened of the Zeppelins.
Mm-hmm.
So he came over and started Amberley School. And there was one Zeppelin, I think it caught fire. One, was it 100?
Oh, yes, I remember, yes, yeah.
I got a photograph of that as well. And then we had a car, and the number was 085. It was treated like a jewel.
Mm.
My father worshipped it, and yeah. I can't remember what it was like, but I remember it was in the garage. In those days, keyholes were very big, weren't they? And I peeped through the keyhole. And in those days, on the running board, you used to have petrol cans.
Yes, yes.
Which were fixed down with a leather strap. And I was very little, and I thought, I burst into tears. I thought the car was ill, and that was the medicine bottles. Oh, dear. Now, my eldest daughter went to art school, and she met a chap who did... You have... pieces of gold leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a bit with him. And then they started to repair the church, yeah. the Baroque church. And Sally, to my horror, said that she would do some.
Yeah.
So I said, Sally, you know, you shouldn't try. She said, yes, I'm going to try and do it behind the organ. So she started, and she did quite a big piece on the right hand as you go in. They hadn't got any scaffolding because they couldn't afford it.
Mm.
So she did quite a piece on the right hand side. She stopped doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. Or they couldn't, I know what it was, it couldn't afford scaffolding because it was too expensive. And then years afterwards, when we, these were the stables, when we moved into the stables, we opened the safe, and lo and behold, there was a big box full of this gold leaf, which was extremely expensive.
Yeah.
So, of course, we took it back to the vicar, and he was delighted. So, that was the story about that. But I was very anxious, I can tell you. But she was quite arty, so she managed.
Good.
And of course the tape, you know where the gardeners lived on the right-hand side of the drive when you come up from the Whitney
Oh, yes,
Inn?
Yes, yes.
Well, there used to... That was the gardeners... What did they call it?
Call it Gardener's Cottage, don't they?
Garden House. Was it Bossy? Gardener's Bossy. Anyway, the topiary work there was wonderful.
Oh.
And of course, they had a lovely time because there were quite a lot of... They joined together, aren't they?
Mm-hmm, they are, yeah.
Mm, there were a lot of gardeners there at one time. Oh, and one gardener used to... They grew the most wonderful vegetables, especially in that ground as you turned off the main road, Little Whitley, down to Snuffy Road. That field there was very good, and they grew a lot of vegetables there, but and also at the court. And one of the gardeners had a horse and cart, and they used to sell the vegetables take it in the cart to market. And they must have been quite shallow steps, but he taught the horse to go down them. And I've forgotten his name now.
It's lovely.
Right.
They haven't done their clothes.
Their clothes, okay.
Yes. Well, they had corduroy trousers, which I think only got probably washed once a year. And if they took them off, they said they'd stand up on their own.
Yes.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Braces. Then they had a thick leather belt round their middles.
Yeah.
They had hobnail boots, of course.
Yeah.
They had caps, which they often used to put on at a jaunty angle. Oh, yes, and when they were doing muddy work, they used to pull their corduroy trousers up and then tie them below the knee with either string mm-hmm. or a special little leather. Leather strap, yes. Mm. And then they didn't get their trousers dirty at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then they used to wear sort of jackets, but quite often they were jolly, jolly old.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of wore, not shirts like they wear today, but sort of shirts with rolled up sleeves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it, I think.
Yeah.
And of course they always had somebody local to cut their hair.
Really?
They didn't go to a barber.
Mm.
And when we went to Lawn Hill, there was an extremely nice chap who lived in Martley Village. He'd made a little box with all his scissors and combs and that sort of thing. And he went round a lot of people in the village and cut their hair in his spare time. They looked after the chantry. And in the kitchen at Lawn Hill, there used to be the gardeners and people like that, and my husband and the children all sitting in a row, and we all had a pudding basin. And it was very handy.
Yeah.
And extremely cheap.
That's wonderful, yes. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It's fascinating.
Well, it's lots of other things, but I find it a bit difficult to remember everything, actually.
I am stunned with what you can remember.
Oh, well, I made mistakes. Sometimes I made mistakes. But this wonderful woman, she also did laundry up at the Hill House.
Mm.
And my word, they were very hard on people who worked with them, I can tell you.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Is this Mary Cartwright?
She was wonderful. She's still alive.
She is. She's very good. She's just fallen down.
Oh, no.
Broke her hip, but it's back, and she went back home last week.
And she's got a jolly good daughter.
And she's got a lovely daughter.
She was such a super person. Mm. And I think I'm right in saying that she used to work on the Boyne estate. And he was crushed, I think, between a cart and a wall. But she was a wonderful person. I liked her a lot.
Mm.
And that was the other person I knew.
Mm.
We write one another a Christmas card, and I have kept in touch with her.
Mm.
But she worked. I've never seen anything like it. And when old Granny Banks was ill, who looked after her? Mrs. Cartwright.
Oh, right.
Looked after her wonderfully well.
Yeah.
No, she ought to be damed, I think.
Well, I'll make sure that she hears this.
Well, give her my love.
I will.
Yeah.
I don't exactly know where she went.
She used to live in Snuffy Row.
Yes.
And then she moved, and now she lives in Stourport.
Because I'd love to go and see her. But okay. I wasn't. She had a marvellous garden. And she kept everything up. And her house was, a little house, of course, was spotless.
Mm.
And she used to make wonderful cakes. And I used to see her fairly often then. But then when she moved, you see, I was rather out of action for quite a number of years, because I had all sorts of things, operation on my back and broke my leg and all that sort of thing. So I couldn't do that sort of thing, because I can't drive anymore, you see.
No, no.
But she really was a splendid, splendid person.